Harper Audio presents Imperfect Justice, Prosecuting Casey Anthony by Jeff Ashton with Lisa Pulitzer. This is Jeff Ashton. Prologue. I hate the moment right before the verdict is read. It's my least favorite part of any trial, because someone in the room knows what the jury has decided, and I don't. Although I've tried more than 300 cases in my 30 years as a prosecutor, that moment never loses its impact, and this time was no different. Sitting between my two co-counsels in courtroom 23A of the Orange County Courthouse, all I could do was watch as the jury filed in to hand down the last verdict of my career, the guilt or innocence of Casey Anthony. The seven women and five men who'd been deliberating only 13 hours over the previous 2 days had not asked to review any of the jailhouse recordings of Casey's conversations with law enforcement or members of her family. It was very unusual for a jury, especially in a case like this, to fail to request something of the court. Even in minor cases, jurors customarily need clarification on legal issues important to the case. I never predict a jury verdict, but based on the quickness of their decision, I was confident they would find the young mother guilty of first-degree murder or manslaughter at the very least. Prosecutors Linda Burdick and Frank George were seated on either side of me at the prosecutor's table. We had been summoned back to the courtroom a little after 1 p.m. on Tuesday, July 5, 2011, with the announcement that the verdict was in. I had returned to my office from lunch and had only been back 5 minutes when I got the call to report to the courtroom. We all felt the trial had gone well, but we were glad to have it over with. The proceedings had taken a toll on everybody. Jose Baez, the lead defense attorney, hadn't arrived yet, but some of the defense team lawyers were in their seats. Linda speculated that perhaps Baez was with Casey in the holding cell, which was in the basement of the 23-story Art Deco courthouse in downtown Orlando. The judge had told the media that when there was a verdict, he would give them 30 minutes to be in their positions. Spectators who had waited hours the day before in the heat of the Florida summer to get one of 50 gallery tickets were finally allowed into the air-conditioned comfort of the courthouse. They filed into their assigned seats in time to see Baez arrive, wearing a brown suit and a paisley tie. For my part, I was in a dark gray suit and one of my signature Jerry Garcia ties, which had become a hot topic in the media. Everything about this case was spun out and dissected by anyone who felt like weighing in. Despite the tragic death of a beautiful 2-year-old girl, the story had become light and tawdry summer entertainment. I may have been projecting, but when Casey arrived shortly thereafter, dressed like a schoolmarm, she looked grim and somber. In fact, her whole defense team looked unhappy. I hadn't seen her parents, George and Cindy Anthony, slipped quietly into the back row of the gallery, but they'd been trying to keep a low profile. As the jurors filed in, Linda told Frank to see which one was holding the verdict form, the clue to who the foreman was. Frank whispered that it was the coach, a juror originally from Pittsburgh who was a high school sports coach. Linda had particularly liked him during jury selection because the Pennsylvania city was her hometown. I knew the moment of reckoning was upon us as Judge Belvin Perry took his seat at the bench. "I understand you have a verdict," he said, addressing the jury foreman. The coach handed the forms to the court deputy, who folded them in half and handed them to the judge. Years earlier, there'd been times when we could see the verdict before it reached the bench. If the deputy was holding the forms in a certain way, we could see which box was checked, guilty or not guilty. So the solution had been to fold the forms in half, prolonging those seconds of agony just a little bit more. As much as I dread the anxiety of that single moment, the courtroom is in my blood. I love being a prosecutor. I love the work, the gamesmanship, and the theatrics. I love every aspect of the trial, from the performance to the public speaking. There's an aspect of a trial that's like being a director of a play. There is an art to the order and presentation of witnesses, to the choice of the questions you ask, to understanding the effects the answers have on the jurors, and to interpreting the opposing counsel's response. Ultimately,
sample complete. Ready to continue?